what I've started with is the first clip I identified, I just sort of took a fancy to it, was the Group 5 clip. And what I noticed about it when I played it back was it had a certain resonance to it. In actual fact, it was almost pitched. And I thought, yeah, it's noisy, but it's sort of pitched. So how can I use that? So I've sort of got the original piece, but I've filtered it. I've taken a lot of the bottom end out, I've taken a lot of the top end out, and what we'll end up with is this. If this will play, which should do. Okay, so you can hear that's got a definite pitch to it, and yet it's I've EQ'd it and I've put a bit of echo on it, but it's definitely got a pitch. So then what I did was I sort of thought I'd play that at the beginning to establish that that's sort of the original recording ish, and then I took it and I actually put it through a pitch transposer, and to give it another pitch, and then I made a copy of that and I've given it another pitch, which I think is 2 semitones lower. And on the timeline, basically I've used that piece of audio and cut it up and pitch shifted it to create a sort of, I don't know what we call it, a sort of atmospheric percussion, if you like. So I'll sort of play the whole thing as it comes, so I'll play the original and then going into the cut up stuff again. Okay, so the other effect that I've put on there, you notice really rhythmic, and someone sent me an email. the other effect that I've put on there is one called a chopper, and what that is doing is it's putting a square wave envelope onto the sound. So that atmosphere that was a constant atmosphere is being chopped into the jet, 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 sort of sound by the square wave, and that's what's giving it the rhythm. It's just a straight eighth rhythm.
And that there,
yeah,
that was the sound that they,
that's the original sound
that you
pitch shifted and chopped.
You've not put any other instruments on.
EQ'd, pitch shifted and EQ'd and then chopped to give that sort of rhythmic effect. And that sort of continues, but then of course we want things to develop a bit, so I've sort of added, and I thought, well, this is supposed to be a piece of music, it's not just a sound texture, so we're going to make it into a piece of music. So what I started to add there was like a looped chord pad, which is like a soft electric piano type sound. I've put that on and I've played around with that as well, and there's other things come in anyway. So if I take it, I'll go right from the top again and we'll just leave it to play through, and then you can hear the first sort of, this is a sort. What I really wanted, the difficulty was, and you know, it took me about a week just to listen through the material and then start to get an idea of where we were going, and this is the difficult bit. you know, getting a start, I think, is getting the difficult part out of the way. And once you get a sort of theme and a rhythm or a feel, then I reckon everything's going to start dropping into place.
Because you were saying, weren't you, that you'd agonise a lot for a week or more.
Yeah. I've listened to all the clips. Some are great. Some are not so great. But some have already been worked on quite significantly, and I intend to include those at some point in the piece. And others, there's a lot of similarity. One of the things that I was slightly disappointed about was that a lot of people got the same sounds, in they didn't venture, they didn't use their creativity in the sense of going to look for unusual sounds or whatever. However, I think I've got enough material. Now I've got a start. One of the things that you tend to find when you're listening to sounds to use in a composition is you tend to start thinking about pitch, and you tend to start thinking about melody and theme, and sometimes what you've got to do is break away from that and think more rhythmically. So something that seems like it's got no value can actually be valuable, because you can take like a burst of noise and that can become a almost percussive hit, as I've shown there with the putting the chopper on just an atmosphere, it's just a straight atmosphere, but I've put that chopper on and it's given it a rhythmic feel. So let's go from the top and see where we go. Okay, so that's how far I've got, really. Obviously, it's got to be mixed, and it will change. But that's the basic opening theme, and the soft piano, sort of electric piano that starts off there, will probably warp into something else, and we'll get different sounds coming in. Obviously, I've only used one student sound there. So we've got 90 bars with one student sound. And that'll probably change. I might swap things around and cut things around.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
And you can definitely hear it. I didn't realise it was just one sound. I thought you'd use two or three.
No, it's just one recording. This particular piece was interesting. I'll just solo it. This was sort of interesting. Which might be sort of garbage, but in the complete piece, so if I unsolo it and then we hear the same piece in the work. Yeah.
I think so, listening to that bit, because I picked that out when I heard it. I think that was probably my favourite bit of what I heard.
Yeah. I don't know what they'd done there. It sounded like... I don't know what they'd done. It's just... As I say, you could listen at that as a recording and say, well, that's a piece of garbage, you know, it's just noise. Yeah. It's just... But it's got a nice sort of rhythm to it, which sort of counterpoints... the electric piano. Let's just listen again. If you listen to it against the electric piano. Here he comes, here. Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as your mixing and everything, it's attention to detail, isn't it?
Yeah, you can see from the mixing desk on the bottom of the screen there that I have already started to move, because when I tend to work, I'm already starting the old school way of doing things was to do all the recording first and then mix.
Yeah.
But when you're working on a computer, often as you're putting something together, you actually start to do the mix, the beginnings of the mix, if you like, like putting effects on as well. I'm working with effects rather than putting an effect on to a sound right at the end of the composition, which I may well do still, but I'm actually putting effects on to create the sound, so it's sound design as I'm composing the piece as well.
So, and of course there's a difference. You can put an effect on an effect.
Yeah.
And if you put an effect, say you put EQ on reverb,
yeah,
or reverb on EQ,
totally different.
Yeah,
totally different. The guys that are into their audio, particularly our audio production students, hopefully should already know that. Our media students have really got to realise that. You know, one of the significant differences of editing audio to editing video is the ability to layer. That's one thing, and also the ability to stack effects. Yeah. Like a compressed EQ is different to a EQ compressed.
Yeah.
and an echo with a reverb on it is totally different to a reverb with an echo. Now, when you take all the multitude of different effects that you have and all the parameters that you can consider with one effect, when you start mixing them all up, the possibilities just are endless. And that's why, I guess, you know, like, one of the things, Dylan, is if you're watching a DVD, you might watch it, you watch it once, and then if you really like it, you might watch it another time. And if you're really a fan of it, you might watch it another time and another time, you know. But with an album, a music album, you will listen to it again and again and again and again, purely because there's that much to discover in the sound. There's so many layers. So, like, say you listen to a classic album like Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd, yeah? Right, which even the kids should know about, and if they don't, get your heads red, kids, because you really need to listen to Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd, right? You listen to it at the first listening, and you get this superficial. There it is, you know. That's the veneer. That's that's what we're presented with, and that's fantastic. And then you listen to it again, and then you discover, and Dylan's looking for his large rump, and yet then you discover other sounds that you hadn't heard in the first listening, and then after 20 listens, you're still accumulating a breadth of knowledge and interest about the piece of music, because you then hear in the veneer, but then you're hearing the sub-level one and sub-level two and sub-level three of all these different sounds. And this is, at the moment, I'm dealing here, that you've heard, which of course is really bad quality because it's just recorded onto Dylan's iPad. You will hear it in full quality at a later date, but you're only talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tracks. When it's properly done and finished, we may have, I mean, that's just an opening, so we don't want it too complex at the opening. We want to establish a foundation, if you like. But once the full thing's going, you know, we could be looking at 48 tracks plus. And so there'll be all sorts of little sounds in there that are mixed really low. They're not supposed to be intrusive, you know, there'll be sounds in there that are just, they're there just to garnish.
Something that you can listen to again and pick out.
And pick out a new, yeah. So we've only got 5 tracks there. But saying that, those 5 tracks, just alone, the student supplied material that we've got here, that, you know, just this is quite complex in itself. Just the, in fact, if I solo it, even better. Yeah, the complexity of it. So that's the atmosphere that's been chopped up, and it's quite rich, it's quite full, and there's a lot of dynamics to that sound. That's why I chose it, you know.
One thing I was going to ask is, when do you know when to stop messing about with it? You're always tinkering. When do you know when it's finished?
Sometimes what you do is you go on ad infinitum, and that's. And then you start taking stuff out. That's really cool. That's a really cool way of doing things. You actually go on and go on until you're bored with it, really. And then you have a listen and you go, it was much better before I added too much stuff. And you start taking stuff away. But instead of taking entire tracks out, you can take sections out. So then what happens is that the sound is constantly evolving and constantly changing, because say you've got 48 tracks, perhaps when you get to bar 50 you'll drop 4 of those tracks, but bring them back in at bar 68, 62 or something like that, and as you bring those tracks in at 62 you'll drop something out. So one of the ways of working is to create loads and loads of tracks with loads and loads of ideas. It's very time consuming, but you create lots of tracks, lots of ideas, and then you go in with the razor blade and start chopping and going, throw that out, it doesn't work there, and you know. So yeah, you can have really busy, cluttered tracks, which I am absolutely guilty of, because I'm so into my audio, I tend to throw the kitchen sink at everything.
See, I've heard pieces that I've marked, and you listen to it as works in progress, and you think, oh yeah, that's really nice, and then when you listen to the final thing, you've spoilt that.
Yeah.
There was some subtlety or actually in some cases something that's not actually very subtle. It's straight in your face that they've taken out, and you think, well.
I'd like to say it came with experience, but what you need is you need a Craig Brackley on your team.
Yeah.
You know, I come up with all these ideas, but what you, this is where the producer's art is. Okay, so for any singer, guitarist, band member, synthesist, keyboard player, composer, whatever, I think, you know, one of the most valuable members of the team is the producer. In fact, the producer can be the linchpin of everything, because the producer isn't necessarily precious about what stays and what goes. So you could have done the most amazing, say you're a bass player, yeah? You could have made the most amazing bass riff on the planet. You know, you've just done this great bass riff. The producer gets to listen to the record and goes, bass riff, overcomplicated, doesn't fit, too worked,
yeah.
Chuck it out. Now, for the composer, they'd go, oh my God, you know, that was my bass riff. But for the good of the project, the producer says, yeah, that's good, or it needs to be lower in the mix, whereas often it's like guitarists, you know, guitarists will say, oh yeah, I need my rhythm guitar, I need it, you know, right up front, you know, kicking you in the teeth, and the producer will come and say, actually, what needs to be is well back in the mix, and then just poking out in certain places to do its job. So
very similar to, it's very similar to speech based things like documentary in a way, you know, you get very, you do this great interview and you get very precious about it,
yeah,
and really what you need is somebody who's dissociated for it to come along, you know. I always say that with work, you know, I hate, you know, when people will come and say, I've got this, I'm doing a 15 minute documentary, it's 30 minutes but I don't know what to get rid of, and I say, well, I'll tell you what, give me an hour with it, and I'll dump a lot of that, and you just go through it, and it's because you've got
no, yeah, you get all rid of the redundancy, yeah. And yeah. Yeah, absolutely. As I say, I mentioned Craig there, and Craig has got a fantastic ear for listening to other people's material. He's also got a fantastic ear for his own material, I guess, but he's got a great ear for listening to other people's material and stripping stuff out and throwing it away, replacing it with maybe something much simpler but much more effective. As I say, you know, I would love someone to sort of take my, you know, boxes of my work and say, yeah, right, we'll redo that. Yeah. But that's the luxury you get of using a professional producer and a professional studio. When you're working at home as a composer, all you're trying to do is get your ideas out. Yeah. And use your judgment the best you can, but often the person that's producing the art is not the best person to make the decisions, to be honest.